Welcome to Victory Christian Center of Rancho Mirage, California. We are a house of mercy and a church for the harvest, shaking the desert with the power and the love of God, taking Jesus to the world from the Coachella Valley. We pray that the word that you are about to listen to will increase and strengthen your faith. Enjoy today's message. Victorious, he lay victorious, over sin,
over death, over wrong, over us. If the word here, hold your Bible, or if you have your device, you can hold that. Let's stir our expectation. Say this with me: this is my Bible, and this is God speaking to me. I am who the Bible says I am. I have what God's word says I have, and I can do what the scriptures say I can do. All right, turn with me to the Gospel of Luke. We've been kind of working our way through Luke here the past few weeks and looking at some of the ministry of Jesus and the parables of Jesus and the ways that he brings us illumination about the nature of our Father, gives us a sense of our assignment while we're on the earth and his encouragement. So today we're going to look at Luke's Gospel chapter 19. And the title of my message is The Advancement of the Kingdom Brings Advancement in It. The advancement of the kingdom brings us advancement in the kingdom. There's a great verse in 1 Timothy 4:8 that says, bodily exercise profiteth little. And can I have an amen on that? Dr. Fred Price used to say, some of you need to get the little it profiteth. Bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life which now is and that life which is to come. Let me say it one more time. Godliness is profitable always, in all things. And godliness has promise for the life that now is and that which is to come. Do you know there are some believers who focus only on the promises and the blessings and the goodies here on earth, and they really don't think about rewards in heaven, but there will be rewards in heaven. Are you with me? Anything you've done that's unseen and no one ever acknowledges or no one recognizes or no one gives you a plaque or puts your name on a building or slaps you on the back or there's no response whatsoever, God's got note on it. And rewards coming. And so we don't have to worry about that. But there's some believers, they're just looking for some goodies here. And there are blessings here. There are promises for this life. But there are also promises in the life to come. And so a lot of believers, they want to relegate all the blessings to, well, when I get to heaven. And yeah, but God wants you to be blessed here. We don't only need help and blessing in the sweet by and by. We need help and blessing in the dirty, rotten here and now. So godliness is profitable. Godliness is profitable. And Jesus gives us some great insight in these first few verses of Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, about our responsibility to advance the kingdom. And when we focus on advancing the kingdom, we are advanced in the kingdom. There are rewards and blessings because we have obeyed the Lord. Are you here? Sin never pays. Let me just testify. If you're on your way to some stupid decision, please stop now and turn around. Amen. Sin is painful, and it's just never works out. So it has pleasure for a season. That's what the word says, but it always ends in devastation and destruction and pain. So if you're in sweet connection and relationship at the Father's house, don't get some wild idea that you need to go off and experience something like the prodigal son did. No, didn't work out, and he came to himself devastated, penniless, hopeless and helpless, and made a turnaround, thankfully. But if you're in the safe connection of relationship with your Heavenly Father, stay there. If you've left the house on your way to the pig pen, turn around now. If you're in the pig pen, come home. And if you know people who are there, just give them a gracious message of God's redemption and restoration and recovery, and just let the Lord use your voice to be an encouragement. Amen. Well, it's good to be here today. I'll have to tell you, it's had a great week, and
And it's always good to be here on Sunday mornings with you all, though. It's the highlight of my week. Luke chapter 19. In Luke chapter 19, we're going to look at verses 1 through 10. The story of Zacchaeus. And he got up in the sycamore tree, wanted to see Jesus. Jesus called him down, and he was a rascal. He was a cheater and a liar and a thief. And, well, he was a politician. And and he cheated people in the collection of taxes. And people despised him. And Jesus, though, chose to love him and connect with him. And a great thought, I think I shared it recently, but a great thought by Bill Johnson I heard recently, that the followers of Jesus, the disciples of Jesus, were belongers before they were believers. Did I share that with you all? Yeah. Isn't that just a great thought? They were belongers before they were believers. Jesus said, follow me, hang out with me, come with me. And he let them belong before they even fully believed, because he would check in with them on occasion. Hey, who do you think I am? Who do people say that I'm? Who am I to you? Are you with me? Yes. And finally, Peter got it right. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And, of course, John the Baptist saw this. Is, behold, the Lamb of God. There he is that takes away the sins of the world. So John saw him. But those that really traveled most closely with Jesus, they were belonging. They were belongers before they were believers. And so I think that helps us in our ministry to others. Because if you're looking for someone with perfect doctrine, you're going to have a long hunt. And I remember a precious woman, one of Pastor Mike Maiden's associate pastors, Iverna Tompkins, I was at a conference and she was speaking to pastors. And she said, now some of you pastors, when you go home, she said, you need to call some other pastors in your city and invite them to lunch and connect with some people. And invite them to lunch and you pay for it. And she said, you may be saying, well, they don't believe like I do. They don't have the exact same doctrine. They don't believe everything I believe. And she said, don't worry about that. Neither does half your congregation. So it helps us when we understand that people can belong before they fully understand what they believe. But just the welcoming presence of Jesus, like we read in Luke 15, notorious sinners and publicans drew themselves to Jesus because they wanted to hear what he had to say. And if we can conduct ourselves in such a way that even the most wounded among us feel safe in our presence, they don't feel condemned, they don't feel beaten up, they don't feel anything but love and a welcome into our sphere. I remember when I went to work and I was doing my 3,000 hours of therapy for my license as a psychologist. I was working at County Mental Health, treating chronically, severely, mentally ill, homeless individuals, and it was a great privilege. It was life-changing for me. I got as much therapy as they did, just experiencing them and watching God's grace at work in their lives. And so when I went to work there, there was some one gay man and one gay woman, and they were sure that I don't know why anyone would have to go tell people that, oh, he's a pastor, he's coming here, he's going to work as a psychologist, but he's a pastor. Why they would have to do that, I don't know, because usually I don't bring that up. It changes people, how they treat you. But they found out, and anyway, they were angry. They were sure I was there with a big, big Bible, and that I was going to come into the office and just wail away because they thought I would reject them. That was their perception. Well, after 3 years, they cried the hardest when I left because love never fails, see? And so it's important for us to live our lives in such a way that doesn't matter who it is, they feel safe with us. God bless you, drive safely. All right, I have 5 points. So here we go, Luke chapter 19. Let's look at verses 1 and following. I'll read here from the King James a little bit. I'm going to read the second part from a different translation. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was a chief among the publicans, and he was rich. He'd gotten rich, of course, by cheating people. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, but couldn't for the press because he was small of stature. And I saw this guy, young man, stand up. How about, like 6'8"? How tall are you?
Only 6'2".
Well, you're tall, lanky. That's you're looking tall. I don't want to mess with you. And but Zacchaeus was smaller of stature, and so he wanted to see Jesus. So he ran before, and he climbed up in a sycamore tree to see Jesus, and for he was to pass by that way. And when Jesus came and saw the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry, get down, and I'm going to go eat at your house. I'm going to go hang out with you and abide at your house." And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. If we can be Jesus, we don't represent our perfect doctrine. We don't represent our denomination. We don't represent our pastor. We don't represent our church, although we do in a sense. But primarily, we are to represent Jesus. And so when Jesus showed up and invited him, all of the religious people thought, oh, isn't that wonderful what compassion Jesus has on Zacchaeus? No, they saw it. They were angry and they murmured. And they said, he's gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. So I want to be in the company of Jesus.
Amen.
I've told this story before. I want to hear it again, though, myself. The El Torito story. Do you remember this, Pastor Jack? So we had a leadership class on Sunday nights. And after the leadership class, no, it was on Tuesday nights. A leadership class was on Tuesday nights. We had malt on Sunday nights. A leadership class was on Tuesday nights. This is years ago. And there used to be a restaurant called El Torito here in Rancho Mirage on Highway 111. And on Tuesday night, of course, Tuesday night is taco night. Yes, it is. And so you could get like three tacos for $2. And so, you know, for $6, I could fill up. And so anyway, we went down there. And I had locked the building, and so the class got there before I did, and so they were waiting on me. And so when you went into the El Torito building, I've told this before, but this is funny. Straight ahead, there was the kitchen and the restrooms. Over to the left was the lounge, and over to the right was the dining room. So I went in, and I knew my people were already there, so I went in, and I, of course, faced the dining room to see where my class was. From behind me, where none of them should be, in the lounge, I heard a voice, a woman's voice, "Pastor Jeff, Pastor Jeff." And I thought, well, who got confused and went the wrong way? So I turned around, and in the bar, sitting at a high top table with a cigarette and a cocktail, was this woman who was part of the church. She hadn't been here for a while, and she was puffing and drinking and puffing and drinking, and she waved me in. Fear gripped my heart. I've gotten past this now, but at that time I thought, oh, I could never go in there. And so she's waving me in, and I'm looking at her and looking at my class. So she waved me in, and she's with some guy. I don't know who he was, what he was about, and he didn't realize it right away, but his evening was about to be wrecked. His investment wasted. Because I went in there and I said, "How are you doing?" And she began to talk and share and talk and share. And then the Holy Spirit began to move, and she began to weep and to cry. And his eyes got bigger and bigger, and her tears kept coming. And his eyes got, he's messed up, man. What is going on here? And my point is that I had a reluctance to go in there where she was with some dude drinking and deodorant. That's a Saturday Night Live thing. If you don't watch Saturday Night Live, it's off the wall. Sorry. My mind just does stuff. Anyway, the Lord showed up in the lounge. I didn't know. The church I was raised in, you would have never thought the Holy Ghost could ever go in the cocktail lounge. But there he was, ministering to her, softening her heart, drawing and loving her back to himself right in the bar. And so the same things that aggravated the religious people of Jesus' day still has a tendency to aggravate people in our day, because if there are some people who would say, look at that, look what's going on there, and it would have been a total righteous encounter that people would be suspicious about. Are you with me? And so that's what happened to Jesus, and they were suspicious and wonder why he's doing that, and why is he having a dinner, and it's a guy's a sinner, and he's going to his house, and he's eating food with him, and what's he doing? Zacchaeus, verse 8, stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I'm going to give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I'm going to restore it to him fourfold." You talk about a change of nature. And Jesus said, "Today salvation has come to this house. For as much as he is also a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Part one, here, this story about Zacchaeus, is Jesus gives us a focus, why we are here, why he came, and why he has left us. You know, when you got saved, the Lord could just take you to heaven right now, and then you could avoid all the hassle of life and trying to work out your salvation and walk with God, and then, you know, the enemy comes. We have an adversary who seeks to devour us, and he could just take us to heaven. But, he leaves us here for a purpose, to be like him. Thank you. To act like him, to talk like him, to love like him, to hang out with broken, messed up people like he did. So the Son of Man has come to tickle the church. No, to seek and to save that which was lost. Aren't you glad that he wants to bless us as his people? But our purpose of remaining on the earth is to seek and to save that which was lost. Verse 11, as they heard these things, he added a parable. So I'm going to read this from the New Living because I like it a little better. I love King James, but... And I know it's the Holy Bible, but I'm going to read from this other. Some of you didn't get that. I used to promise myself I would never do this, but here I am. Jesus, first of all, gives us the how. And then in this rest of these verses, he gives us the why. You know, sometimes there's a connection. The how and what my father taught me. He said, "Now that's an ice cream truck, son. And you can go, when the ice cream truck comes, you can go and buy ice cream. But when it's playing music, it means they're sold out." That's what my dad taught me. So now it's a parable. Verse 11, the crowd was listening to everything Jesus said, and because he was nearing Jerusalem, he told them a story to correct the impression that the kingdom of God would begin right away. Because remember they asked Jesus, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Are you going to whip up on the government? Are you going to take over now? So they had this sense that the kingdom, that Jesus was going to establish kingdom rule immediately. And so we know that that day is coming, but... it was not impending. So Jesus tells this story, tells this parable to correct that impression that the kingdom would begin right away. He said, a nobleman is called away to a distant empire to be crowned king and then return. Before he left, he called together 10 of his servants and he divided to them 10 pounds of silver, saying, invest this for me while I'm gone. But his people hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, we don't want him to be our king. After he was crowned king, he returned and he called in the servants whom he had given the money. He wanted to find out what their profits were. The first servant reported, "Master, I invested your money and made 10 times the original amount." "Well done," Jesus said, or the king exclaimed. "You're a good servant. You've been faithful with a little. I entrusted to you, so I'm going to make you governor over 10 cities as your reward." Always remember, godliness is profitable. The next servant responded, "Master, I invested your money and I made 5 times the original amount." "Well done," the king said, "you will be governor over 5 cities. But the third person brought back only the original amount of money and he said, "Master, I hid your money and I kept it safe.
I was afraid because you're a hard man to deal with, taking what isn't yours and investing crops that you didn't plant. You wicked servant, the king roared, your own words condemn you. If you knew that I'm a hard man that takes what isn't mine and harvests crops I didn't plant, why didn't you deposit my money? At least put it in the bank so I could have some interest. Then, turning to the others standing nearby, the king ordered, said, take the money from this servant and give it to the one who has 10 pounds. But master, they said, he already has 10 pounds. Yes, the king replied, and to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. And as for the enemies who didn't want me to be their king, bring them and execute them right here in front of me. So, of course, this is a story that Jesus is telling, and it's really giving us a kind of an end time glimpse of end time. God doesn't want anyone to perish. But if they choose, I don't want you, Jesus, then that's their choice. It's not that God chooses to send anyone to hell or to condemn anyone. But when he offers life and forgiveness and love, and they reject that and say, we don't want you to be our king, then there are resultant consequences. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So I have 5 points. So number one, you can take notes real quick here. Number one. Verse 13 says, we are servants. Advancement of the kingdom results in advancement in the kingdom. Advancement of the kingdom, so if we will be kingdom people and we will advance the kingdom, we will be advanced in the kingdom. Are you with me?
Yep.
Now I got to get this thing. There we go. Verse 13, he says he called his servants. He called his servants. And so interesting that he uses this analogy, because each of us are given, in Matthew's gospel, he talks about this in Matthew chapter 25, he says that he divided to every one severally according to his ability. So sometimes some of us have greater abilities in certain areas and less abilities in other areas. And my tire had a flat yesterday, and I suppose I could change a tire if I had to, but that's not my strong gift. I don't know if you can change a tire with a hammer or not, but if you can, I could do that. Once. You can fix anything with a hammer once. So I took it to the tire store, where they have all the right tools and the right skills and the right clothing, and that mean they're ready to do that. And so there was a nail in my tire, and they took it off and took the top wheel off and took the rim, took the tire off the rim and patched it. I watched the whole thing. So I'll know how to do it next time. But all of us have gifts that we can use to advance the kingdom. Well, Pastor Jeff, I can't sing. Well, maybe then you can pray. See, so we all have different gifts. Are you with me? Well, the call is, so he gave to every man severally according to his ability, Matthew says, but he gives gifts. He gives something of worth to people, and then he expects them to use it. And so the one, though, he gave one talent. And how many of you like illustrated sermons? All right, so in the King James, it says he brought it in a napkin. He wrapped it up in a napkin and said, so does anyone have a $100 bill? It's an illustrated sermon. Come on. Who has 100? You'll get it back. No one has a $100 bill? Father, we're going to pray for prosperity right now in the name of Jesus. God, visit this church. Lord, help us. Help us to have $100 bills when we come to church. George Washington has been to church long enough, Lord. Send Ben. Thank you. Okay. So, oh man, you're good. So he brings back, the one brings back his what the Lord had entrusted to him. And in the Matthew it says he buried it, but in the Luke here it says he brought it in a napkin. It says, look, I brought it, and is that real? Did you see all that counterfeit money they found this week in whatever country it was?
So he brings it back to the Lord like that. So I just like to illustrate sermons, and so. It's a powerful illustration, isn't it? And the Lord, we have different gifts, and one man had a gift of having a $100 bill, so he used that for the Lord's work here and to illustrate a message, and I appreciate that. And God will bless you for it. Number one, we're servants. We have to understand that we are here to serve the Lord. We're here to serve one another. And in fact, we're here to serve the world. Amen. The Apostle Paul said, I'm a debtor. He didn't owe God for his salvation, although we always live our lives in gratefulness to God. But he said, I'm a debtor to the wise and the unwise, to the Jew and the Greek. He's saying that I'm a debtor to the world, that I'm a servant, not only to the Lord and to God's people, but I'm a servant to the lost. Yeah. Number one, we are servants. Number two, with an assignment. Jesus said, occupy in the King James. Occupy till I come. We have been given an assignment, and that is to love one another and to let the world see that we're his because of our great love for one another, but then also to love them, to love God, to love ourselves, and to love others. That is the fulfillment of the law. And so we must understand that we are servants and that we have an assignment. And each of us have a different assignment. And so if you're not called to preach, that's okay. Maybe you can pray. If you're not called to go, maybe then you can send. And maybe the person with the 10 talents is the person who the Lord blesses financially to support with finances the gospel and be a sender. And maybe the one with 5 talents is the prayer partner, the prayer warrior that bombards heaven and makes things move in the spirit realm to prepare the way for the preaching to happen. And maybe the one with the 1 talent is the preacher. A lot of times we have those things reversed in our minds or we have a preconceived idea. But whoever you are and whatever you are in the kingdom, you have an assignment. Find out what that is. And if you don't know, get my book. I'll give you a free copy of Making Your Dream a Reality. And there's a lot of good stuff in there about how to discern your dream, to discern your purpose and God's call on your life. Number one, we're servants. Number two, we're servants with an assignment. Number three, it's a hostile environment. Because Jesus said there are going to be people who say, we don't want him to be our king. So it's not always welcoming for us. Psalm 2 poses a question. Why do the heathen rage? Man, we see it more and more. Lawlessness and godlessness and demanding things that are just inconsistent with the scripture and with the heart of God, and people are embracing that, and they're demanding, and they're vehement against righteousness. And so that's what the psalmist says. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Let us, the psalmist says, what these people say, let's cast off their constraints. And see, the church has been a force of constraint and been light in darkness and been salt to a putrefying world system. And so there's a hostility toward the gospel. There's a hostility sometimes toward the authority of Jesus. And that's exactly what they said. We don't want him to be our king. We don't want that. And so we have to understand that we function in a sometimes hostile world. Number four, we're called to function without fear. Verse 21, the guy comes and he says, I feared because you are an austere man and you reap where you didn't sow. I know that you're a good businessman. I know that you make profit, and I was afraid of you. And because I was afraid, I brought it in a napkin. I will get him his money back. I know, so come back and listen to me because he'll get his $100 back. The Lord will get it to him somehow. I'm believing with him. That feels good in my pocket. But he said, I feared. And so the Lord is telling us, listen, that's not acceptable to function in fear. That's not acceptable. If you make 10 more, that's awesome. If you make 5 more, that's awesome. If you make 1 more, that's good. The whole thing is to be faithful over that which the Lord has entrusted to you, and that you function in this life without fear. If you are concerned about what someone's going to think, if you just bless them or ask to pray for them or just reach out to them in some way, if you live in that fear of rejection or fear of failure or fear that the enemy will try and cause to creep up in your life, you're going to be fruitless. And fruitlessness is not acceptable to the Lord. So be confident in Him. He will use your efforts, and just be comfortable. You don't have to manufacture anything, but just let Him love through you, let Him flow through you, let Him touch through you, and let Him speak through you. You have an assignment, and you're called to function without fear. And number 5, you will be rewarded accordingly, verses 17 and 19. He says to the 10, you're going to be rewarded. This says to the guy that made 5, you're going to be rewarded. So here are my 5 points. You ready? We are servants with an assignment in a hostile environment, called to function without fear, and will be rewarded accordingly. We are servants, number 1, with an assignment, number 2, in a hostile environment, number 3, called to function without fear, number 4, and we will be rewarded accordingly, number 5.
Thank you for tuning in today. We would love to see and to meet you at one of our weekend services. We are located at 34500 Bob Hope Drive in Rancho Mirage, California. Our services are on Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. Please check out our website for more information at www.victorychristian.org and for the most up-to-date, exciting events that are taking place at Victory. We pray that you would prosper in every way and be in health just as your soul prospers. You are victorious.